Rick Ralph from TSN 1290 in Winnipeg joins us. Rick, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me. January 8th, the last time they lost in regulation to Arizona, of all teams.
Really? Well, hey, man, the Jets are on fire. I guess my first question is, I look in goal. Pavlik's numbers are better. Hutchinson's very good. Has Pavlik improved, or has the overall team defense not hung him out to dry?
Team defense is better this year under Paul Maurice, and Pavlik's been better here as of late. He slipped a little bit about a month and a half ago, and that's when Michael Hutchinson kind of got the opportunity to step up his game. And I say step up his game. He really hasn't had to step up because he's already been up on that step. He's been lights out pretty much this season, and he's been the difference here, I think, for the Winnipeg Jets as of late. It's forced Pavlik to be better. The defense is better, but Michael Hutchinson has that extra little tool in his toolbox that has allowed the Winnipeg Jets to go through a string here, especially without missing a lot of their defense, who they all pretty much have all back now.
Their blue line was decimated by those injuries. Bufflin stepped up, and man, I've been watching the Jets games. Not only is he playing a lot of minutes, he is crushing guys. Like, he is such a physical presence. Has Paul Maurice agreed that Bufflin's maybe better suited now to be a defenseman?
Well, he said that for now, and I always find that interesting, for now, but he's not going anywhere as long as he continues to play the way he is on defense. The question here in Winnipeg now is you've got a kind of a glut on the right side there. Zach Bogosian has returned in the last couple of games, and Jacob Trouba returned last night for the first time. So all the healthy defense are back. And the last time these guys were healthy on the blue line, Dustin Bufflin was a forward. But now Paul Maurice likes what he's doing on the back end. The problem is you got three guys on the right side that all average over 20 minutes a night. We weren't really sure how you were going to squeeze that all in, unless they're going to plan on going to overtime every night. But through special teams, whether it be the power play and penalty kill, last night each of those guys were no further off than a minute, I think, of their season average. So maybe they can keep all three on that right side and keep them happy, but that certainly bodes well for the Winnipeg Jets on the blue line.
Oh, man, their blue line's very deep. Do you think there's a chance they might move one of those guys to try to get some help up front?
There's a chance. Once everybody gets healthy here, they'll have nine guys on the blue line, and that's a little bit too many. Could Party slip through waivers and go back down to Newfoundland? Well, that's quite possible. He's done it before. Then the question is with Paul Postma, would he clear waivers? And there's the thought that maybe he wouldn't. So is that a chip that Kevin Cheveldayoff may use closer to the trade deadline? May he use one of the other defensemen as a chip to try and land up a little more depth up front? Because with Dustin Bufflin coming back from the third line to defense, it kind of leaves a hole up front for the Winnipeg Jets. They were at the start of the season looking for somebody on that right side. And now with Bufflin back on the blue line, I would think that emphasis has grown a little bit. Plus the fact that Paul Maurice doesn't like to run that fourth line very much, especially in a tight game.
Yeah, and that's why I was wondering, because I was looking at the minutes played, and he's not getting a ton of minutes from his bottom four or five forwards. And so it would seem like that's an area where the Jets are going to try to improve, because making the playoffs is one thing, Rick, but now, you know, not that they're comfortably in, but they look, you know, barring a major collapse, that they're going to be a playoff team. So now it's, okay, can we go deep, and how can we beat one of the teams we're going to have to face in Nashville, St. Louis, or Chicago?
Yeah, and that's the question, too. You've got a couple of 21-year-old centers, too, in Mark Scheifele and Adam Lowry in your second and third lines. And while those guys have been good, you've probably, with all due respect to the guys up front, you've got about two and two-thirds strong lines. And Matt Halaschuk's been filling in since Buffalo went back on the blue line, and he's on that right side of the third line. But it doesn't give you that scoring threat that Dustin Bufflin did on that right side. And you mentioned the fourth line not getting a lot of ice. They'll be lucky if they see 5 minutes in a night. And I mean, last night they get up 3-0 early in the second period against Columbus, so you have the luxury of rolling those four lines. But it's been proven over the course of this year and even back last year that Paul Maurice just doesn't have the confidence in the fourth line to put it out there. And as you mentioned, Jason, when you get into the playoffs, mm-hmm. you know, it's not so much the top six forwards of each team almost cancel one another out on any given playoff night. And it's often the bottom six that do the damage. And the Winnipeg Jets, that's where the depth lacks a little bit, is in the bottom six up front.
If they were going to, I haven't even looked at their cap space. They got about, what, $3 million?
They've got all kinds of room under the cap. The thing is, they're operating as a budget team. And while the space is there, I don't think they'll ever spend this season anyway. to the cap. So that could be a little bit of a mirage for some people.
Okay. But even, you know, they got a lot of, even if they added one guy, you know what I mean? Like they do have the room, because adding one guy might get him an extra home playoff date and even things out.
Yeah, and it could. And that's the big debate here. Are they going to move a defenseman? Kevin Cheveldayoff, the general manager, has been inactive as the trade deadlines come and go. And, you know, he doesn't even have a player-for-player trade in his back pocket that he's done here while with the Winnipeg Jets. So that's the big question this year. Is that something that he's willing to do now? Is he willing? And you look into the pipeline, they've got some great prospects coming up. I don't know that he's willing to part with some of those guys, but at some point, if those prospects can't push into the lineup, you know, you've got to make, you may be able to use that as a trade chip. Will he be willing to move draft picks? You know, anything's up in the air right now. A lot of questions about what or what the general manager may or may not do here coming towards the deadline. Also, Michael Frolik, a unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Last year, they signed him to the one-year deal to buy them a little more time to get a deal done. Well, he's been lights out this year for the Winnipeg Jets. Nala Walsh is his agent. You know that the price has probably gone up. Can they sign him in the offseason? If not, that's another question here. Do you let him walk at the end of the year and retain him here for a playoff run, or you trade him at the deadline and try and get a couple of pieces back? But you'd almost be kind of, you know, moving deck chairs around, if you will, in that case, because you'd basically be trying to replace the guy you just moved away.
We are joined by Rick Ralph from TSN in Winnipeg. Rick, Evander Kane has 3 goals in his last 5 games. Is he starting to look like the former 30-goal scorer?
Yeah, I think 30, even 25 goals. To me, Evander Kane, I mean, he had a lot to say, and he does sometimes. He's quieted down a little bit, but he at the start of the season was talking about it being, you know, a 50-goal scorer, and I can understand he's got some pretty lofty goals there. I wouldn't be surprised. This guy is a 25, 30-goal man. If you can get 30 from him, great. He has been playing extremely well under Paul Maurice. No complaints in his department. He's first in on the puck. He's a power forward. He's fast. He's got a good shot, and he plays a physical game. I don't know about the 50-goal thing. Maybe that comes somewhere down the road. But he's been really content on the third line and really adds a different dimension because, as you know, he's being on that third line. He's seeing a lot of different looks when the opposition comes to town or they're on the road. So it's been really beneficial to him, and especially as of late, as you mentioned, he started to find the back of the net.
Well, he has, and, you know, man, there's a lot of things I like about Evander Kane's game, you know, so much of it. Obviously, his offense hasn't been there. There has been at times, you know, a lot of talk out of Winnipeg, maybe they'd move him or not. That seems to have calmed down now because the Jets are winning, and they're focusing on reasons why they're winning. Where do you stand on Evander Kane? Is he a guy who's more help than a detriment to that organization?
Well, he's been good as of late, and I mean, he's a guy that likes the spotlight, and he's admitted to that, and that to me is fine. He can rub some people the wrong way, but he's been a lot better, I think, this year. I was under the camp in the offseason that you would move him. I'm still not convinced that he is going to last here to the end of his contract, but I think they're pretty happy with his game, and Paul Maurice has him playing very well. Nobody's really complaining about ice time, at least publicly. Nobody's complaining about anything. They're absolutely tickled. They've won 5 in a row here and 6 of their last 7 and are in a playoff spot. So, you know, if you're going to move a guy like that, I don't know that you're going to get back what you give away. And what is an Evander Kane at this point? I think a lot of people are still trying to figure out, including him, as to what he is. We know he's fast, like I mentioned. We know he can shoot. We know he plays a physical game. It's the offensive output. How much can you expect from him? I think we're all kind of waiting to see where that ceiling is.
Overall, on the back end, and I know so many people were shocked with Bogosian and Enstrom and Stewart and everybody out. Which one do you think they missed the most on the back end? And then conversely, which defenseman do you think they would be most likely willing to part with?
Toby Enstrom, I think, was the guy they missed most on the back end, which is maybe kind of funny to some, but here's a guy that led the team in ice time. He is a great first pass out of your own zone, and they struggled a little bit with the defensemen, especially Enstrom, out of the lineup since late November, to move that puck quickly out of their own zone. With the defense on the injured list, they brought the forwards back down deeper, with the wingers trying to help the defense to move that puck out. But he certainly adds a different dimension to the offense, especially on the breakout that Toby Enstrom does. Very smart with the stick for a guy that's, as you know, not very big. Having said that, he has a no-movement clause. You can't ask him to sit on the other side of the dressing room if he doesn't agree to it. They've got Josh Morrissey, as you guys know, in those parts. Now in Kelowna, that's coming up through the system. Many are wondering whether he could play next year. There's a debate, do you want a Toby Enstrom on the team if Josh Morrissey comes in? Can he make that step next year? That's a deal probably in the offseason. Which defenseman would they be willing to move if they wanted to move one of these top five, if you will? Well, there's the debate. Some likes to see Toby Enser move, thinking Josh Morrissey would come in and replace him as long as Dustin Byfuglien's going to play the game he is right now and can eat up those minutes. Others point to maybe Zach Bogosian, if he's going to be on the third pairing of this blue line making $5 million, maybe he's a guy that would be very cap-friendly. It may be attractive to some other teams. But that's a lot of talk. We haven't heard any rumor as to which one the Winnipeg Jets would be willing to part with, but that hasn't stopped the people of Winnipeg and the media from debating just what you asked. Who would they move if so choosing? And I think it would be a combination of, it would just be a guess on this point, maybe Enstrom, maybe Bogosian. There was talk last year at Byfuglien. Now nobody wants to move the guy at all.
Yeah, well, why would you? He's just a beast, and man, that guy in the playoffs, you know, with when you're that big and can control the game as much with your skating and skills, with your physical play, and knock guys around, we saw what Zdeno Chara can do. He could be a huge, huge help, especially who they're going to have to play in the first round. Rick, little bird, so are you a big Whalers fan?
A big Whalers, the Hartford Whalers.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big Whaler fan. I was a Hab fan when I was younger, and I'm going to guess there's somebody out there listening to your station right now that's a Whaler fan that I grew up with. But that's about the association I had with the Hartford Whalers.
Okay, so you're not a Whaler fan. Okay. Well, you're a Habs fan. We're never having you back.
Rivalry.
Well, we'll never have you back on the show, Rick. It's good that we clarified that, okay?
I hate Claude Lemieux. Hartford, Jason.
Yeah, it's a great rink, man. Are you kidding me? The old Connecticut in the mall? Did you go shopping? It was awesome.
Didn't do any shopping. It's pretty cool to walk through a mall. You open a door, and all of a sudden, you're in an arena. I caught Montreal Hartford there in the early 90s in the playoffs.
Oh, hey, buddy, I'll tell you right now, that old barn was great. Unfortunately, with Hartford, most of my memories are all bad ones, especially Claude Lemieux in overtime of Game 7.
Oh, yeah.
That's my least
favorite.
Long
live the whale.
That'd be great if they brought him back just for their jerseys alone, the best jersey in the league. Rick, enjoy the All-Star break, and we'll see the Jets. Hey, man, that's their first five-game winning streak in like 3 years or something, I heard.
A franchise record is 6, twice, and both under the Thrashers. So this is the longest streak the current Winnipeg Jets have had here, and they'll look to make it 6 when they face Pittsburgh on the road when they come back from the All-Star break. So there's a tough assignment.
How much does that bother Winnipeg Jets fans when they say, you know, franchise record, because it doesn't include the original Winnipeg Jets? Does that irk Winnipeg fans?
Yeah, it does. It bugs a segment of them, and I understand that because there's still you mentioned the whiteout possibility at the top. That debate goes on. Should we leave that alone? Should we bring it back? And it's tough because all the franchise records that we have to look at are the Atlanta Thrashers, and you know the fact they only made the playoffs one time. But in a lot of these records, you'd think, well, no, you have a longer winning streak, 7 or 8. No, it's just 6, and it's been done twice. Last done, I think, in 2010. So. Some of the records are not as heady as, say, maybe you'd find back in Winnipeg Jets 1.0, as they refer to it here.
Nice. Well, 2.0, man. The whiteout will come back, won't it, for the playoffs?
I don't know how you can't bring the whiteout back. So I'm not going to tell the fans what to do. We haven't been debating it. But you can see there is a little bit of a movement on social media to try and get the whiteout. Nobody wants to jinx it just yet. They don't want to get overconfident here. They want to make sure they're in the playoffs.
Fair enough. That's fair. I get it. Was 95 the last year the Jets were in the playoffs in Winnipeg?
95, yes, I believe, off the top of my head, if I remember, and anybody listening with the true Winnipeg Jets fans will club me if I can't get that one straight. But we just had Greg Adams on the show today reliving some of those moments of disaster for the Winnipeg Jets, falling up 3-1 to Vancouver there and not able to come back and capture that fourth and final game. But he was good about it. But, yeah, Jets fans are just dying to try and get this team into the playoffs so they can bring back all kinds of different debates and old times memories, good memories.
Well, hey, if you want to relive it, 1990, Oiler fans will tell you the Jets were up 3-1 in that series too.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Never comfortable. Heaven forbid they get into the playoffs this year and get up 3-1 in the series. I'll
yeah.
tell you that.
Yeah, Jets fans won't be liking that one. Rick, I appreciate your time. Enjoy the weekend.
Good stuff. Thanks, Jason.
Rick Ralph from TSN.